Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
Thank you, and welcome to Shea Renee and Friends. It is November 7th, and today is my oldest sister, my big sister's birthday, and she is literally turned up right now. I talked to her before the show, and so before we get the show started, callers, hang on the air. I see you in the chat room also, so callers, stay on, but before we get the show started, I would like to wish my sister Denise a happy, happy birthday. And this birthday song is for you, sis.
We sing happy birthday to you. And may all your dreams come true.
Happy, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, big sis. Happy birthday. That was a shout out to my big sister. I'm not going to tell y'all how old she is, but she's older than me. So anyway, happy birthday, Denise. Now, in some local news, Orange Mound met tonight about housing at Beulah Baptist in Orange Mound. It is the second largest African-American community next to Harlem and the first African-American community, largest community open to African-Americans in the South. And so they were meeting about their housing tonight and the housing development. So hopefully they got a lot of things accomplished with that. That's some of our local news. Some more local news. Shelby County, Mayor Mark Luttrell and a couple of other people and government, they were meeting to battle the opiate crisis that we're having. And they're having a conversation on how to get a handle on prescription drugs and how to get a handle on the opiate heroin addiction and crisis. Now, you know, Tennessee, it's election time. So you know that the people are coming out and they're saying that they're running for different offices. Well, Jim Tracy recently resigned. He was appointed by Trump to the Department of Agriculture, and he recently declined, so his seat has been left empty. Joe Carr has said that he has an intent to run for Tennessee Senate. He is a former state representative. He says Tennessee has a great opportunity to assist President Trump in making America great again. He says Tennessee needs to lead the way, removing unnecessary rules and regulations, enforcing the rule of law of those who come here illegally, support protecting the unborn, protecting the Second Amendment right, fight of expanding federal government. He has been a Republican for 40 plus years and has already started campaigning. And he is for President Trump in making America great again. Also, Murfreesboro businessman Sean Reeves, he has also announced that he has an intent to run for the seat also. So we will see in this upcoming election. So you know a little bit about Joe Carr. As soon as I find out more about Sean Reeves, I will definitely let you know. And it is the 14th district of the Senate race here in Tennessee. So I will let you know the more I find out about that. We're touching on some local news. Here is some more local news. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the election. You know, it's election time. Well, you know how they take polls during the election season. Well, in a poll that they have recently taken, they said that Democrats have hit the lowest mark in 25 years, that most voters feel like they should not have taken a year off considering the Trump administration and the slide America has taken because of that. So, Democrats, we definitely have to let people know that we did not take a hiatus for a year. We have been fighting and we have been looking for people to sit in the seat and to replace a lot of people who are Trump rallies, Trump people wanting to make America great again. So we have not been sitting down. We have just been looking for the right people to fill those seats. And here's some good news. In Hillsborough, North Carolina, officers buy food for theft. They have been catching a lot of people who have been stealing food just to survive. And so the police officers in Hillsborough, North Carolina, have been buying food so they don't have to take people to jail because they are hungry. So they're buying food for those people. And I think that is something great for officers to do. I think it's awesome. And so hats off to Hillsborough, North Carolina, and their police force on that. Oh, Sister Esther Reen, we're going to go ahead and cover some things that we needed to cover last week. And Sister Estherine, I think you had something that you wanted to say, right?
Well, first of all, Sister Estherine, want to apologize to Ming Ling. I want to say that I'm sorry. I just don't play with ghosts and goblins. And last week it was just hard for me. And I was trying to be live on the air. And y'all want to do all that foolishness. And Sister Estherine don't do no foolishness. I'm serious about the law. And so I want to say I'm sorry, Ming Ling. I don't want you to go to hell. So I prayed to the Father, and he said, you're not going to go to hell. He's going to forgive you, okay? So I just want to let you know that. I'm sorry.
Why, Sister Estherine, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Me, Leela, I'm so happy to hear that. And I love you. I love you. My sister for Anjma, I love you.
Well, Sister Estherine, love you too, Ming Ling. That's why I apologize, okay? Now, ain't no time to get no mushy on air. We live on air now. We got a job to do. Okay? We just need to make it short and sweet. All right? Now, Sister, talk to you after the show. You can call me after the show. And Sister, we'll answer your call. But right now, we ain't working, okay? All right, baby. All right, I'm going to talk to you later. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you.
Well, ladies, I am so proud of you, ladies. I can feel the love. I can feel the love. There is nothing like love and camaraderie on the job. Yes, the Gucci Queen is so, so proud. So proud of you, sister. So proud of you, sister.
Well, Gucci, you know me and you. We talk all the time, so you know I'm going to listen to you, girl. Because you know we'll be having a good time when we be talking. Ooh, Gucci is crazy. Yes, she is. She crazy. She is blessed by the Lord, y'all. Yes, I love our Gucci. Yes, I do. I love you, girl.
I love you, too. Gucci, I love you, too. Gucci, I love you, too. Minnie's so happy. Minnie's so happy. And Michelle, I love you, too. Minnie's so happy. Minnie's so happy. Minnie's happy.
Okay, well, ladies, I am so glad that we got that all taken care of, and we squashed all the beef from last week. And everybody's good. And so with that, I want to play a song that is showing my love for you ladies, okay? And so this is Sarah Bareilles with What the World Needs Now is Love. So we'll be right back after this.
Sweet love, Independence Day, everyone. It is our nation's birthday. We want to thank Sarah Bareilles for her powerful, moving performance tonight. It reminds us what we need in this world and also reminds us of what makes this country.
She has just done an awesome job of that song. I love that song and how she sings that song. And yeah, it was a little bit of talking after she got through singing. But I love how she sings that song. And it's true. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And so I'm glad that the ladies are all loving each other and we've got the camaraderie back on the show and everything is good. And with that being said, Ming Ling, you want to give us a little bit of political news? And then after Ming Ling gives you some political news, which is basically Trump news, I'll be back with some more news. Ming Ling, you're live.
Well, hello there, Shay. I am Ming Ling. And I'm here with your political news. President Trump went to Japan, or want Japan to build more cars in the U.S. instead of importing them. He said, is that rude? I don't think so. So he told local automakers during trip to Japan, and he praised them, praised Toyota, and Mazda for building new plants and expansion in U.S. facilities. And a new planning deal was 1.6 billion manufacturing plant in the U.S. Trump may reducing the $57 billion trade deficit with Japan a top priority. But this is the facts. Japan's big three company car companies have huge factories in the U.S. and their production is at an all-time record high in the States and have been increasing their investment in the U.S. for decades. They built 4 million vehicles last year and exports from Japan to U.S. from 1986 was 3.5 million a year to in 2016, it had dropped to 1.5 million. Three or four of the Japan cars sold in U.S. last year were built in North America, Mexico, and Canada. Trump stated that our trade with Japan is not fair and not open. And so the truth is the U.S. runs a deficit with all the five countries that Trump will be visiting on his Asian tour and a big one with China. And so he was kind of off when he said that about Japan. But, you know, we know this president don't know many facts and he just likes to talk. Now, he's on this Asian tour and today he visited South Korea. And there's some worries that Washington may resort into unilateral military action on Korea Peninsula and are generating anguish and worry in the Asian's fourth largest economy. South Korea media voiced their concerns ahead of President Trump's visit on today. He is set to meet with President Moon Jae-in and address the parliament, in other words, the National Assembly, and leaves for China tomorrow. He's all in my neck of the woods, my roots. But a lot of South Koreans feel like they're not a part of the deliberation, and as an alliance, they're not consulted. The fear stems from Trump's administration leaving South Korea after North Korea shows the ability to hit the U.S. in an intercontinental ballistic missile. South Korea feels that President Trump is exasperating tensions by strong words and taunting Kim Jong-un. So there's a lot of nervous energy here in Korea and in South Korea concerning the Trump visit and everything that's going on with the Trump Twitter rants. And while we're talking about President Trump and his Twitter, in USA Today, they took a poll, because you know we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of President Donald Trump in office, and they took a poll on his tweets this election. 1 year, he has tweeted 2,461 times. And these are some of the things that he pointed out, and he called himself passing the policy. And they're saying that his promises are easier to tweet than to keep. That kind of rhyme. So one was, he said he would stop Trans-Pacific Partnership. He will cancel the Paris Climate Agreement, and like we're the only one that is not like with them. He keep Guantanamo open. He declared China a currency manipulator. He sues his accuser of sexual misconduct after they said he did something to them. He releases his tax return after audit, and we know he never show us that. He promised that he would show us that. He never show us that. He approved the Keystone XL project. Well, we know that. He would defund Planned Parenthood. Thank goodness it's still open. He would renegotiate the Iran deal. Oh, thank goodness he not passed no law or no policy. And so, I am Minling. This is your political news. And I am signing off. Thank you.
Thank you, Mingling. Great reporting. We appreciate that. Now, I want to touch on some things that happened just this past Sunday. Guys, I know that you have paid attention to the news, and I'm sure you heard about the Texas shooting. Well, Trump and politicians showed how mentally ill they really are. At the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, there was a gunman that killed 26 people and injured 20 others. Trump says that it was fortunately that someone else had a gun shooting in the opposite direction. He also says that it's a classic case of mental illness, and that not having a gun would not have prevented this incident. That this isn't a gun situation because he's mentally ill. He's a Caucasian 26-year-old. And he had been court-martialed in 2012. He also escaped a mental facility. But he had been court-martialed for assaulting his wife and child. His Facebook picture profile pic is an AR-15 style gun rifle. This is the 11th deadliest shooting in modern U.S. history. Representative Ted Lieu of California walked out of the moment of silence, and he has been very outspoken and a critic of Trump. Lieu wants to pass a universal background check law, ban assault rifles, and ban a bump fire stock. Now, the man who shot the gunman, Stephen Williford, he lived nearby. He confronted the gunman and shot him. He ran outside barefoot. He doesn't see himself as a hero, and he believes God gave him the skills and expertise to do what needed to be done. Now, I want to go back a little bit on this story, that it's the 11th deadliest shooting in modern day history. And I also want to point out that it was a church. Now, we have come to the point to where we can't go on vacation. We can't run a marathon. We can't go to church. Can't go to a movie theater. Can't go to college. Can't go to school. Where else can we not go where there has not been a mass shooting of some sort? Baseball game. And yet Congress is still not doing anything when it comes to gun laws. And these are all assault deadly weapons. These are all assault rifles. I understand the NRA, you know, I believe in the right to bear arms. But at the same time, I'm not out buying a military rifle. I'm not in the military. And I'm kind of for the universal background check law. I don't know if this would have helped in this situation, considering he did have an assault rifle and he escaped from a mental facility. I don't know if it's the same as it's okay to escape a mental facility. I'm not sure if it's okay to escape one. But if you're in one, evidently you probably need to be in one. And if you escape, it seems like it should be somebody somewhere looking for you because you're mental. And so this gentleman escaped a mental institution and was able to walk and roam the streets. Now, riding here in Memphis, I mean, I can ride down the street and I see people talking to themselves all the time. Some of them I see boxing the air. I used to think it was funny, but with what I'm seeing in the news now, and when it comes to mental illness and mass shootings, I'm thinking, is this okay to ride down the street and see this type of thing? And I know that there used to be mental facilities and they've shut those down. There's been empty buildings that were huge mental hospitals. I don't think psychologists or psychiatrists are on the shortage. I know a lot of them are just homeless. So how are we going to even get a handle on mental illness? And how are they getting weapons? Now, I'm sure the ones that I see are not getting online or going to buy weapons. I don't even think they could probably communicate to get a weapon, you know, without being suspicious. But how are these mentally ill people constantly getting military rifles and shooting up churches and baseball games and the Las Vegas Strip? I mean, how is this continuously happening? And why are we not concerned about that and really, really having a serious conversation about what we can do? I mean, people are mourning and, you know, there's a time to pray, but then there's also a time to do. And even the Bible says faith without works is dead. So, you know, we can pray and believe all we want, but faith without works is dead. So we can pray and pray and pray, but faith without works is dead. So I think that this is a serious conversation that needs to be placed upon the table of importance. I mean, we can't go anywhere now without dealing with assault rifles and mass shootings. And so with that being said, this is to all of those that were affected by the Texas shooting and in the church. The pastor was going around visiting those who were injured and those who were members of the church. And he says they have a strong faith in God and that together they're going to make it through this tragedy. And with that, I want to play Mercy Me, because I would love to hear that song by Marvin Gaye. And I pray mercy upon those who are mentally ill and those who are committing these mass murders and mass shootings. And then we'll come back with our Sister Esther Ring with our spiritual insight.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are alive. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more be you from man? Can't you stand?
That's what we're sending out to those victims and those who were affected in Texas. And I think it's about time for some spiritual inspiration with everything that has happened in Texas. Sister Esther Ring, give us a word from the Lord.
Well, hello, children of the Most High. I am going to be coming from Revelation 19, and I'm going to read. Well, I'm going to keep reading from 11 until I get to my point. Okay. Now, in verse 11, let's start there. My Bible is titled, The Heavenly Warrior Defeats the Beast. So it says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rod is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, sound like my daddy. And on his heads were many crowns. And his name was written on him. And no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen. See, they was clean. I like a man that's clean in a nice suit and all. Yeah. White and clean. See, I told you he was clean. Cleaning out of here, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with words that could strike down the nations. You know, I used to have a sharp tongue. I sure did. I could cut you real hard. And say, that's the law right there. And so it says that tongue is two-edged sword. He said he will rule them with the iron scepter. He dread the winepress. See, it's still wine in heaven. That's why I love the Lord. Oh, the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And his robe, on his robe, and on his thigh, he has his name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. I think I'm going to stop right there because that's the point I want to make. That Jesus' eyes are faithfully true, as they call it. Were like fire. That remind me of my dad. His eyes like fire. And then it said that his mouth was like a sword. So that means sometimes, you know, you'll cut people up with your mouth. Like, that's why I apologize to Ming Ling, because my mouth was like a sword last week. But that's the Lord in me. And then it says, on his robe and on his thigh, he had his name written. Well, you couldn't see it. See, it said his name was written on himself. Said that no one knows but himself. So that means that you couldn't see it. See, it was on his thigh and his robe covered. But if you hear, then you'll see it. And he said it was written on him, King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, the Lord revealed to me, saints, that it was okay for me to go get a tattoo. As long as you can't see it. And since it's written, I got a tattoo. It's written on me. And I ain't going to tell you. Because it said in the word. I'm the only one supposed to know. And that's what the Lord revealed to me. So I got a tattoo. And it hurt. But I got a tattoo. And you ain't going to see. That's right. The Lord was speaking to me. I got a tattoo. So since it's written, man, like the Lord. In Romans 9, Revelation 19. Go read it for yourself. I ain't saying nothing. The word said it. Goodbye. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your revelation. Yes.
All right. Sister Esserine, thank you for your revelation. Okay. So, I got a tattoo, too. Sister Esserine, I got a tattoo, too. And unless I wear the right clothes, hey, you can't see it either. So, I guess I'm all right then. All right. Well, bless my soul. That was our spiritual insight, Sister Esserine. Now, here's a little bit of more news, too. Guys, we all have college kids. And for those kids that are growing up, we're sending our children off to college. But we also have to teach our children before we send them off to college, because there are some things and parties going on that are becoming more and more dangerous to our children. An incident happened at Florida State University, where they suspend all their Greek life after a pledge dies. Andrew Crawfey, a 20-year-old pledge of Pi Kappa Phi, had passed away this past weekend, and he was at a party. They are suggesting that it may be due to alcohol, maybe alcohol poisoning. But parents, this is why we need to educate our children. Because they are excited. They are living on their own. That's the first experience they get as an adult. And they are dying because of a lack of knowledge and not understanding that, hey, when you've had enough to drink, you've had enough to drink. Don't push the limit. And so all Greek life has been suspended at Florida State University. And the dean is saying that in order for it to not be suspended anymore, it has to be a dawning of a new day when it comes to Greek life. On to some international news. It's been human smuggling going on. Italian authorities found 26 teen girls' bodies in the Mediterranean Sea from Niger and Nigeria. Girls aged 14 to 18 years old. They are being trafficked. They're being tortured and sexually abused. 11,000 of these little girls of 2016, and they have not been able to come up with the record for 2017. The saddest thing is that these young ladies believe that they are coming to get a real job, and really, they are going to be trafficked and sexually assaulted. The survivors were hanging on to the remains of the vessels as the girls' bodies floated nearby in the water. It was about 400 people on the dangerous voyage that they were on, and 90 women, 52 minors, and a one-week-old baby. Arrested were two men. One was an Egyptian and one was a Liberian, and they were accused of human smuggling. This is serious for our girls. So it's really happening in Libya, Niger, and Nigeria with these young little African girls aged 14 to 18 and some as young as a one-week-old baby. Ladies, little girls, so this is something that really, really needs to get a handle on about our little girls and how human smuggling and human trafficking is worldwide. And so I'm thankful that the Italian authorities were able to capture this one incident. And I'm saddened that we lost 26 young girls in the Mediterranean Sea. So I'm going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back with some coochie news with the Coochie Queen. Give us some coochie news.
Well, thank you, Shay. I am getting a letter from last week out of the coochie box, and I did talk about the role play to go along with the theme of Halloween. But I got this from the coochie box, and let me tell you, I'll read it a little bit. It says, Dear Coochie, my wife is all about dressing up, and we do it often. But she threw me by surprise when she asked me to dress up for her as a baby doll. I said, okay, do you mean Ken? She said that she had a favorite character baby doll as a little girl. And she wanted him to dress up as it, and he felt uncomfortable. And what should he do? Help me, please, Dr. Coochie. Well, let me help you and your wife. Don't do it. That's some bullshit. If I ever heard it, don't do that. A Barbie doll. Now, ladies, when you talk to your man about dressing up, make him a superhero. He wants to feel like a man in the bedroom. He wants to feel like he can conquer, like he is the king in the bedroom. How is he going to feel like a king? Just a bit like I am, baby doll. It's not gonna happen. Listen to the Coochie Queen when she says this. Ladies, make your man feel like a conqueror, like a king in the bedroom. Don't make him feel less. Make him feel like a king. Men want to feel like a king. Sex is about the mind. And if you make him feel like a king, he will get up and stay up. So it's a mind thing that you have to do in the bedroom. And dressing up as a baby doll will mess up the mind. So keep him up. And make him feel like the king that he is in the bedroom. He can be a mighty warrior, a Roman soldier, a king. He can be all that. Keep dressing up. And I am your Coochie Queen with your weekly relationship and your Coochie news. And until next time, take care of the Coochie.
All right. Yes, yes. As always, Coochie Queen, we will take care of the coochie. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Make your man feel like a king in the bedroom. And it keeps it up, as the Coochie Queen says. Okay. That was some good coochie news. Okay. Here's a little bit in entertainment and sports. Josh Gordon, I'm sure you're familiar with him. He's a wide receiver of the Cleveland Browns. He says he has something in his system probably every game of his career. He has struggled with substance abuse, which has caused him to not have played since 2014. He missed 51 of Cleveland's last 56 contests. It didn't stop him from racking up the numbers, though. In 2012, as a rookie, he had 805 receiving yards, 5 touchdowns. In 2013, he had 1,646 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. He played only 5 games in 2014. Under the Browns' discretion, he will return on the active roster November 27th. And could be available for Cleveland's last 5 games of the season. He entered rehab last October to gain control over his life. So we wish you well, Josh Gordon, and we hope that you stay on the narrow path, clean and sober. You guys are from Memphis, and those who are familiar with the University of Memphis, remember Josh Pastner? Yes, the old Memphis Tigers coach. Well, he is under fire. That's right. He's under the fire for violating NCAA rules. And he is upset about it. And he wants to justify and clarify his name. He's not that kind of coach. And so, but he was exposed by a former Tiger athlete. So we'll keep you updated on that. 16-year career player Ron Halladay plane was found to have gone down in the Gulf of Mexico. A two-time Cy Young award-winning pitcher who retired 4 years ago, his plane went down around noon today off the coast of Florida. Police couldn't confirm additional passengers or where the plane was headed. He received his pilot's license several years ago. He had dreams of flying since he was a boy and couldn't become a pilot until he retired from the baseball league, which was one of the mandatory rules of being a baseball player. His wife originally was against an aircraft, but later came on board with him getting one. The company of the Icon A45 stated that they were devastated to learn that former Major League pitcher Ron Halladay died today in an accident involving the Icon A5, and that they had gotten to know Ron and his family, and he was a great advocate and friend. So that's some news in sports. He had a great career. So our prayers and hearts go out to him and his family. In entertainment news, I'm not sure if you guys heard, Kevin Spacey, you know, the House of Cards, he faces sexual allegation charges. He has been reported to be getting help after multiple accusations of sexual assault. Several men have accused him of assault this week. Star Trek Discovery actor Anthony Rapp told BuzzFeed that Spacey climbed on top of him in 1986 and he was 14, Spacey was 26. Spacey stated he didn't remember the event. He apologizes if he did behave that way and for inappropriate drunken behavior. Since allegations, Netflix has halted production on the sixth and final season of House of Cards, and his international Emmy has been revoked, and his masterclass, which was online about acting, has been taken down. And The Voice was on again tonight, guys. How many of you have been paying attention? Kelly Clarkson is there. She is on board helping with the coaching, and she is awesome. She is definitely a Southern belle and makes me proud to be from the South with a little twang to it. It is a senior, Anthony and Hannah. Anthony, he has been a tough cookie. He has a falsetto out of this world. And Hannah has a range out of this world. But Adam and Blake's teams went up tonight. And Blake came home with the winner. Adam came home with the winner. The Voice is just getting better and better each and every week. So definitely stay tuned and keep up with The Voice, because it has some voices on there, I tell you. So I look forward to every week and glad I can get a little taste of The Voice before I go live on the air. This has been Shea Renee and Friends, where we're reaching the world through media. Guys, every week we bring you the verdict, and hey, you got the verdict tonight, okay? And so make sure you tune in every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, for more of Shea Renee and Friends. And guys, we're going to go out with Wapella, Closer to My Dreams. And until next week, hey, love more, laugh more, and live more. And hey, if nobody's told you they love you, I love you. Then the crew loves you. Right, crew? Right. Yes, and we love you. We love you. All right, there you go. All right, until next week.
To understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group, just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost the sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.